This is episode 402, dated Monday, August 4th, 2025.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hi, everyone. Welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branco. Great to be here with all of you this lovely day today. This is episode 402, dated Monday, August 4th, 2025. Allow me to introduce the panelists that we have so far on the program. We start out with Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon. Good evening from beautiful downtown Pasadena, California. It's 83 degrees and clear. There's supposed to be a heat wave by the end of the week. It's supposed to get up to close to 100 here, so we're enjoying the balmy weather that we currently have. So everything is well and good here in the Rose City.
We are partly sunny, partly cloudy, temperature about 80. We have a health quality, an air quality alert going on right now here in New England because of the Canadian wildfires. So that's limiting some of the sunlight that we would normally have under these current circumstances. But hopefully we'll make it through okay. It's amazing how we have Canadian wildfires nowadays, more than we've had ever before. I know we had them 2 years ago around here, but I don't know what's happening. Okay, Reverend Michael Garrett.
Yes, and welcome from Missouri City, Texas, where it is about 82 degrees with cloudy skies. We're forecast to have thunderstorms, 50 mile per hour wind. So we're batting down the hatches here. And Bob, I want to give a shout out to a listener. A gentleman told me, a good friend of mine, Wayne, the Colonel Simpson. Saw him in St. Louis at the National Beat Baseball World Series, and he said he listens in to us sometimes. So
wonderful.
Shout out to Wayne.
Hopefully he'll participate. We're welcome. You know, Wayne, if you're listening, you're welcome to participate when the time comes for audience participation. We are still waiting on Don Wardlow and Luther King, but I'm sure that when they do arrive, they will let us know.
Bob.
Peter.
I am here. I know
I'm
often not here, but I'm here this week. I'm delighted to be here. And I just want to tell you all, we're expecting a heat wave in Coos Bay, high of 72. So
that's a heat wave.
So we are looking forward to the heat wave. I think it's going to last like 2 days and it's going to drop down to 68. So,
yeah, you're having a cool summer.
Well, no, this is normal for us, actually. This is normal Coos Bay weather. Usually it's in the 60s for much of the summer with lots of sun and breezes in the afternoon. If you go 10 miles inland, the temperature goes up at least 10 degrees. So it really is sort of a localized thing here. Anyway, I'm glad to be here.
Hey, Peter, I've got a question for you. You do some research on what is a coos?
That's a good question. I will do some investigation and find out.
I've always wanted to know what a coos is.
a coos, yeah. A couscous. I don't know.
Let me thank those people who make it possible. Maybe there are some cooses out there that we need to thank. I don't know. Just kidding. I want to thank Raymond Gay, our producer, for what he does for us. Also, the media sources, thank you for airing us. Jacqueline Sylvia. From JS Web Solutions, thank you for archiving our shows on our website. In order to find them, go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down until you get to Sports Roundtable Podcast. Click on them, and you will see most of our archives from latest to earliest.
Merci, Jackie.
I want to say hi to Trish, our facilitator, and Brad, our streamer for today's program. And because we are being streamed live, let me give out my email address for people who would like to write to us. We always want to hear from fans about our show and what we talk about. We're always interested in what you have to say as well as what we have to say. So please write us at Branco, Bob Branco 93. That's B-O-B bobranco93@gmail.com. That's bobranco93@gmail.com. Well, I'll tell you, as a Red Sox fan, I was disappointed that our general manager, Craig Breslow, did not do what he should have done as a buyer for this team. He did pick up Dustin May from the Dodgers, Steven Matz from St. Louis. That's fine. But when you look at what Texas did, what Seattle did, even what the Yankees did, Houston, teams around the Red Sox did a lot. And I'm just hoping and praying that this streak that the Red Sox have been on since the trade deadline continues.
Well, Bob, you are more than welcome to Dustin May, as I wrote to you. He's like the little girl with the curl. When she's good, she's very, very good. And when she's bad, she's awful. And that's Dustin May. I wish you lots of luck. And I can sing a similar refrain about the Dodgers, because the Padres are loaded for bear. They made a lot of moves. Dodgers, I'm pleased that they picked up one pretty decent right-hand relief pitcher in Brock Stewart, but they really didn't do much else. And, your former outfielder, our shortstop Mookie Betts, I fear is dragging the Dodgers down, because he's hitting 230 something. He went 0-17 in the Tampa Bay series, and I would have liked the Dodgers to have gone out and gotten one more hitter and certainly one more solid relief pitcher, because I think the Padres are better than the Dodgers roster-wise right now.
Ryan O'Hearn went out west. Did he go to San Diego or the Dodgers?
He went to the Padres. He was playing. He's playing. He's their DH now.
Yes, and Seattle picked up Eugenio Suarez. Very smart move on Seattle's part. They redeemed themselves, because they're sorry they let him go, I'm sure. And I'm glad he's back for their sake.
And Houston brought back Carlos Correa.
Correa.
You hit a home run yesterday, but it was...
Yeah, but we still swept Houston.
The only run we scored. Houston's going through a big slump right now. The pitching is so-so. The hitting is so bad right now. And even though at 62-50, you know, we're still slightly ahead of Seattle, but we are... I don't know how to get out of it. We gave away the pitcher who pitched Gusto.
Gusto
sent him off. Yeah,
Ryan Gusto.
But he had just pitched the great game, and you send him off in anticipation that you got three pitchers coming back, and our ace just did a poor job against you guys, Bob.
Michael, you're getting a scratchy signal on your voice there. I can't explain it. Maybe somebody else knows what I mean. It sounds like.
Is this better?
I don't know.
I think if he spoke a little distance from the microphone, it might help. Or the mouthpiece, or whatever you're speaking into. Maybe.
I didn't know Gusto was traded. That's a new one on me, but, I have a question though for you, Michael, about Correa. Has he ever played third base in his life? Now he's playing third base.
You're cutting out completely, Michael.
I did. Sorry about that, guys. I thought I had a better phone here.
You're fine now.
There he is.
So
now you're good.
All right.
What is the story on Correa? Has he ever played third base before?
I don't know if he's ever played third base before, but I think if he can handle it, I mean, he's a great shortstop and he has a lot of range, and I'm looking forward to seeing him and Pena just cover that whole third base side, hold the left side of the defense. I think they can really cover some territory. So hopefully he's good at moving to his left.
When is Jordan Alvarez returning?
He's supposed to be back soon.
As the Red Sox have won four series against them, beginning of the
year. Yeah.
Jesus Sanchez, the guy they got from the Marlins in the Ryan Gusto deal, he's a leadoff. He's a leadoff hitter, and he's an outfielder. So maybe even if Yordan Alvarez can't come back, maybe Jesus Sanchez will fill some of that gap. And
Alvarez will probably be a designated hitter.
Does this mean Altuve will go back to his normal second base now that they have this extra outfielder?
That's what we're thinking.
I hope.
Now, Ryan Gusto, I am never going to forget the fact that he was the starting pitcher the night that Nick Kurtz of the Athletics hit four home runs, and he had 6 for 6 on the night. You know, he had about as good a night as a hitter can have. And Ryan
Gusto
tied Sean Green's record. I heard that game. It was a day game. The Dodgers played the Brewers 20-plus years ago when Sean Green had 4 home runs and 19 total bases.
Yes.
That's a heck of a stat line for a rookie.
Definitely.
Sean Green grew up in the Blue Jays organization before the Dodgers got hold of him.
Yes, that's correct.
When I was a rookie broadcaster, he was the DH for the Dunedin, Florida Blue Jays.
Sean Green had some good years playing right field for us.
And the Red Sox have another pitcher going for Tommy John surgery. This never ends, folks.
Yes, Tanner Houck.
Tommy John. And what I'm hearing is he's upset that the Red Sox front office is telling him to throw hard all the time. And my question is, why doesn't he express his feelings to the front office about this?
Because he doesn't want to lose his job.
Get traded like Devers did.
Exactly.
I think, the thing of it is he needs to look out for himself, too. Nobody wants to be out of baseball for a year and a half because he's throwing too hard.
But all the teams are going to ask of that of their pitchers, not just the Red Sox. It's just no one-team thing. You know, they all...
Hey, Bob, I have to take issue with you. They still get paid their several million a year during the year and a half they're not playing. So aside from the pain, literally and figuratively, of rehabbing, I'm not sure these guys are all that concerned about it. They're still getting paid.
I hear you. I know they're getting paid because the contracts are pretty much guaranteed. But if I'm a baseball player and if that's my livelihood and I know that I enjoy the sport, I want to play. I don't want to be sidelined for 18 months.
That's what I was going to ask, Mitch. What about the guys who just love the game?
You know, I guess I've become a baseball cynic. I think that the kind of, and there are players like that. They're gym rats. They're guys. The Dodgers have a few. Every team has a few of them that they love to play baseball, and they'll do whatever it takes to play baseball. But I think there are more and more players who are, you know, they like baseball, but it's a means to an end, meaning setting up their families and their kids and their grandkids with their multi-million dollar salaries. I don't know that there are as many players who just love the game for the game's sake anymore.
Mitch, I was gonna disagree with you because I, as you know, I tutored student athletes at the University of Missouri, which is not a comparison.
Right.
I understand that, but all of those folk, every single one of them, were seriously competitive. I mean, in their sport, and whether it was swimming, whether it was baseball, whether it was football, I mean, these folks had a hard drive, you know, to be the best at whatever they were doing, even academics sometimes, but especially in the sport that they were involved with. And, you know, maybe money, temper some of that. That's certainly possible, but I've never seen so much competition, type A personality than when I was tutoring these folks. They're great people. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not saying they're not competitive. What I am saying is that they're not going to jeopardize if they like playing at a particular place. They're not going to jeopardize their future. Look, Rafael Devers, do you think Devers would rather be with Boston right now or with the Giants? I think he'd rather be back in Boston because Boston at least has a chance for a wild card berth. The Giants don't. So I think that these guys are not most of them aren't going to rock the boat enough to say, hey, I don't want to throw 100 miles an hour. I don't want to have the best spin rate in baseball. I think they're willing to take that chance and jeopardize their futures if that's what the team wants them to do.
Hey, well, he played his way out of Boston. Rafael Devers absolutely played his way out of Boston. See, you can't say he'd rather be in Boston. Heck no.
He probably made his way
out of Boston.
Well, he'd rather be in at the end of the season when the Red Sox are getting in the playoffs and have a puncher's chance at going to the series. He may have second thoughts about that. Particularly, I just heard that he's alienated the Giants already.
Imagine that.
The management.
Doesn't this remind me of somebody else who did the same crap? In another.
Oh, well, there you go. His consolation, though, Mitch, will be, it'll go back. See, it's a vicious circle. His consolation will be the money he gets.
Yes.
Hey, Red.
So who are you referring to, Luther? You said it happened.
If my math is right, didn't a certain quarterback who's now playing for the Steelers, who played for the Jets, and who played almost 20 years, for one of my favorite football teams,
Aaron Rodgers,
one of the first teams that I followed in the NFL and still do to this very day. Doesn't he kind of remind me of that guy?
Aaron Rodgers, absolutely.
I mean, look, here's what this comes down to. I mean, Bob, I kind of agree with you with what you sent this morning with, you know, Rafi Devers thinking he had the position locked up at third, but guess what? Those positions are earned. They're not given. They're not a lifetime hall pass.
Exactly. But Devers thought he had that position for nearly 8 years. That's a long time to think you have that position.
And then
near the end of that 8-year period, he signs a 10-year contract worth over $300 million.
But he probably thought
he was there for life.
But you know good and doggone well, like in every sport, you can sign a such and such a year's contract for such and such $1 million, such and such guaranteed. But guess what? The teams have something called out clauses, exit ramp strategy. So if they don't want you anymore, they can void the guarantee over the frivolous of littlest of things. So they don't have to keep you at all. And the team basically has final say so on your rights if they want to keep you or not. And when they finally
go back to a comment that you shared about people wanting to set up their family, et cetera, et cetera. And the person that came to mind immediately when you said that was LeBron James.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know what he's thinking about competition. I mean, he seems to be on an island all by himself. I don't think he used to be that way, but he certainly is now. And, I wonder I know what his end goal is. He wants to make as much money and he wants to be, to play in the owner's ballpark and partly own a team and stuff. But, what he's doing now, I just find really irritating.
If the Lakers were to trade him this season, there would be very few tears shed in Los Angeles.
And let me tell you, look, it's kind of reminding me of what the Tyreek Hill situation is. Something tells me that, look, if LeBron gets traded, how many teams are going to take on that contract? Same thing with Tyreek Hill. If he wants out of fishy land, think about this. How many teams are going to want to take on the freight of carrying that albatross of a contract that they're going to have to deal with? Because I can promise you, the Lakers and the Dolphins are not going to eat most of that contract. They're going to be like, hey, if you want them that bad, you take the whole thing because we're not paying a dime.
But the issue is not so much the contract. Well, that's part of it, Luther. The issue is who wants LeBron on their team?
Dallas may.
As crazy
Dallas
as
may
that
want
sounds,
him on
how good he still is.
No, Dallas would.
Who wants LeBron?
The general manager would love to reprieve his career by getting LeBron to pair up with Davis again and their other
and another guy that keeps getting hurt, Kyrie. But let me tell you something,
Durant.
Let me put it this way.
Yeah.
If that big three doesn't work quickly, Nico Harrison and Jason Kidd. Look, there may be a point Jason Kidd may not even be there at the halfway point of this season. Look, that could be a possibility. Look, there could be a possibility that the whole ownership group could say, we're cleaning house. We're getting rid of Kidd and Harrison. We're starting this whole thing over.
That would be an old team.
Real fast.
Yes.
And I can promise you, if that old team, if that were to happen, doesn't start gelling and winning quickly, then everybody is OUTT. They are out, which means they're going to have to basically start over from the studs. And
well, LeBron isn't going anywhere with the Lakers until the trade deadline, whenever that is, sometime in February.
I don't know. Something like that.
Speaking of the Lakers, Luka just signed a new deal.
And I saw that, I heard that on Saturday. He got like the three year supermax.
And Bronny and LeBron blew off the big event at Crypto.
Yeah.
Apparently they were on vacation and that was more important.
They were playing golf, Mitch.
Oh, is that what they were doing?
Yes, they were playing golf.
Really?
Oh, well.
Yes, they're serious golfers. I didn't know this, but apparently they were, perfecting their golf game.
Hey, Rev Mike, I'm glad you're here because I do have a question for you, good sir.
Mm-hmm.
Is Micah going to be staying on the Bulls? Because now he on Friday at about 4 o'clock Central Time dropped in the beloved and talented Punch Bowl. He requested a trade.
So, a trade, yes.
Basically, the talks have soured to the point of where Micah's like, I'm out this piece. I'm done being everybody's punching bag in Big D. Can they get a deal done with Micah?
It's hard to say because Jerry Jones has this theory that he doesn't like to talk to agents.
Well, guess
but
what?
But he does. He does in order to close the deal, but apparently they're so far apart that I guess it's no sense talking to the agent until the numbers get close. But apparently he's not even talking to Micah. So it's, you know, and he has this way about him. The thing that frustrates me about Jones is he lets all these deals go so long and it costs him more money.
Yeah.
All the wide receivers, they got big deals. The quarterbacks, they got big deals. And he waited until almost the beginning of the season to sign both of them, Lamb and Dak. And he knew that Micah's contract was coming up. So, you know, it's on Jerry. It's really on Jerry.
By the way, they love Joe Milton, by the way.
Yeah, they do. They do.
If they don't get Micah back into the fold, sooner rather than later, then Michael, I'm going to make a wager with you that the Cowboys will be the cellar dwellers in the NFC East.
No.
The Giants.
Yeah,
Giants.
I think it's a toss up right now.
Like I told Peter, you know, I don't have them pegged to go to the playoffs. But if they don't have Micah, you know, they're going to be worse. You know, it'll be a long time before they get to the playoffs.
What do you think Redskins receiver Terry McLaurin's going to go? Because he also asked for a trade earlier this week.
I think they're going to keep him.
I think so too.
For some reason.
Yeah. I wonder, but my question is though, what's the happy median? Like, you know, what's the number that's going to appease him and his camp? I think that's the biggest question on him.
You're forgetting something. The commanders need a commanding presence, and so
yes, they do
sign the wide receiver to make their commanding stance more commanding.
Yes. Now, if the Commanders can ever get out of the NFC Championship game and get to the grand old game known as the Super Bowl, something they've not been in since 1991, if the Cowboys can't find a way to get a deal done, and if you are the Commanders, do you pull the trigger and make that move?
They might.
The Eagles.
There are seven teams that he's slated to possibly go to, and the Commanders are one because he has a relationship with Dan Quinn. It would be ugly.
They'd have the best defense in the NFC.
The Eaglets and the Micah Parsons and the Eaglets, aka the All-Stars. If that were to happen, ball game over. If they were able to pull that off.
I can't imagine, them trading him. I just can't imagine it. This is typical Jerry behavior. You know, people get frustrated and they ultimately, you know, sing Kumbaya, Dallas Cowboys, you know, all that stuff, and they sign somebody. What I just wanted to comment, what I heard this morning is,
yeah,
theoretically, they have, Parsons, what's his name? I'm drawing a blank.
Mike.
For 3 years.
Micah Parsons. For three years.
But here's the thing. He has a back problem. So he could just say, I'm hurt and earn $24 million this year. You know, how can they prove he doesn't have back problems? You know, he's going to get his money. And if he takes a year off, it's not as they can't like not pay him. So if they don't solve this, you add to this the clubhouse action, and how does Schottenheimer, the new coach, deal with all of this?
Well, here's the thing.
It's crazy.
As Mike Florio from PFT has talked about with the Cowboys and the Bengals and a few other teams, they are cheap and they're short-sighted and they're not as smart as everybody thinks they are. Because when it comes to deals, look at Dak Prescott last year before week one. What did he get paid? $60 million, but it took up until the opening day of the season for him to get it. After he had already broke his foot.
Okay, that's what frustrates me about Jerry Jones. But his back problem, his quote unquote back problem. he was at camp last week.
Yeah.
He was thrown away from the people, away from the defense, but he was playing catch with somebody else. So
he was on the side.
Yeah. And so I'm not sure he's a back problem.
Well, maybe fake, but you know, how do you prove it? Right? I mean, if he says he has back problems and he's not playing, they can't not pay him. That's a battle.
Yeah, as soon as he signs the contract,
he's going to be jailed.
Miraculously. I've got a
great idea. trade Parsons, the unhappy cowboy, for the Bengals unhappy guy. What's his name?
One problem with Hendricks.
Yeah.
For one, Hendrickson signed a bad deal. Hendrickson basically signed a bad deal. And now they're trying to get something better than what they signed. And the ownership group's like, you know what? No, you signed it. You honor it. You can hold out since as long when, as you want.
Since but, when has that been a stipulation in pro sports? Players don't have to honor their contracts more often than not.
Well, look, look at what the Bengals are doing with Shamar Stewart. I think he finally came to camp, but he's holding in.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's taking many practice snaps either.
Well, since it is my plan when we have our fantasy draft the beginning of September to try to get Joe Burrow, I hope that that Hendrickson doesn't play, because I like those 41-38 games that the Bengals.
Well, here's the problem. As the Bengals found out last year, at some point trying to outscore everybody ain't gonna get you where you want to go. You have to be able to stop somebody.
Well, unless they get him signed, and they weren't all that good last year when he played. So,
well, no.
Mitch, what is Matthew Stafford's status these days?
It's not good.
It's a week. From what I heard, it's a week with a back problem.
This is the third week, and he's sitting out again. It's not a good situation.
My guess is he's probably not going to take a snap in the preseason anyway. If he comes back,
I think that makes a lot of sense.
If he comes back,
who's the backup? Who's the backup?
I'm not
with my roster. I'm not where my roster is. I don't remember who their backup is.
I don't remember.
It's Garoppolo.
Oh God.
It's Garoppolo.
Another dude that can't stay healthy to save his butt. Oh,
Garoppolo's not a bad quarterback if he stays healthy.
When he's healthy.
When he's healthy. That's the key. He's healthy. But it ain't all the time. Cause what was it? 1 year it was his knee. 1 year it was his arm. 1 year it was his ankle. So he's had something almost every year he's been in the league.
The Rams have a good roster. So the Rams do.
Yep. And Taylor Williams is in his last year.
Yeah, I think the Rams will be the favorite in the NFC West.
Yeah, agree.
You know, they have Davante Adams and Puka.
They got
Kyron Williams,
who's in the last year of his deal, I think.
Yeah, I think the Rams are going to be really good this year. I don't know that they're as good as the Eagles are going to be. I think they're going to be an 11-12 win team.
I think there's a possibility we're going to see that Eagles-Rams rematch in the divisional round again like we did last year.
Detroit might have something to say about it.
I don't know about Detroit yet. I just don't know.
Did you hear Colin's comments this morning?
No, I didn't get a chance to. No,
he was saying that Detroit truly misses the two coordinators. He said they looked sloppy.
Yes,
there were five turnovers.
Yep.
And if that's what losing Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn mean, then it's not pretty.
Well, for one, when their quarterback that they had was driving him downfield, he threw a terrible interception. I mean, they were driving. I think it was a quick slant and the defender just sat on it. And I'm like, oh my Lord.
This guy was a backup.
Who was it? It was Allen.
Kyle Allen.
And he's nothing but a backup. Well, let me put it this way, Mike. If you're going to be a backup in this league, I don't care if it's preseason or not. You can't throw the terrible pick that he threw. Didn't even look off the safety or even look at reading the receiver options that he had. I think he had pressure, but still, you got to at least look for somebody instead of just throwing it and just giving them points.
I would also say this. This is Harbaugh's second year.
Yep.
He is molding the Chargers offense and defense into the kind of team he wants.
Yep.
And I think the Chargers are going to be a playoff team, and I think they're going to surprise some folks.
That division is Denver, and the Chargers.
It's going to be a heck of a division.
Look, three Hall of Fame coaches: Andy Reid, yeah. Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton. I mean, yeah. Any one of those three, could win the AFC West. I don't see the Raiders doing it. I mean, Raiders still have a long way to go.
They have a long way to go.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if we have any participants waiting to talk to us here on Sports Roundtable. And Trish, any hands raised at this particular time?
We actually currently have two.
All right.
The first one is Robert Acosta.
A West Coast guy himself.
Another left coast guy here. I got three quick comments. Number one, the Angels have Anthony Rendon, who we can't even give away. So you talk about losers and motivation. He's raking in money and he's done nothing for us. Two. I think the day should move Mookie to right field. And let him relax a little bit. He worked with Tulo, over the winter, and he's a perfectionist. He's thinking more about what he does at shortstop instead of the automatic. Let me finish number three, Bob, and I'll get out of here. I want others to get a chance. The third thing is a rumor that Freddie Freeman got in a fight argument with Ohtani. Because Ohtani was striking out and he was giving him hints and Ohtani got upset with him. And they said the Dodgers were considering putting Freddie on the trading block, but they made up. Any rumor there? I want to see if you guys heard that. I got that from my brother who comes up with wild sources sometimes. Thank you.
I did not hear that.
Okay.
I have been gritting my teeth. Over Ohtani's strikeout numbers the last couple of weeks, it would not surprise me that Freddie wanted to talk to him, and it wouldn't surprise me. Ohtani is a very proud man, and because everybody has put him on the pedestal that they have, maybe he's gotten to the point where he doesn't think he needs to listen to anybody. And my comment about Mookie. Is either past his prime, and I hate to think that, or he should be moved back to the outfield because he's thinking so hard about being a decent shortstop that he's forgotten how to hit. And he is Dave Roberts, if you heard the pregame show yesterday, Bob, Dave Roberts was at a loss. He doesn't know
what to do.
That's right.
That's not Dave. He's a great manager.
No, it's very
wild as Mookie.
32.
He should have three more good years.
He should at least.
You'd hope so, but he hasn't shown it this year.
Thanks, guys. Great discussion.
Both Bob and Mitch have an answer. You know, move to the outfield. I mean, it strikes me as a really sensible response.
What happens to Teoscar?
They'll figure something out.
He probably goes back to pinch hitting.
You put Teoscar in left. You put Pajes in center and Mookie in right. Conforto is beginning to hit, but he's not hitting well enough that he would keep him in the outfield. And, you know, his defense is pretty good, but I'd rather have Mookie in right field and Teoscar in left.
Interesting.
All right. Who do we have next, Trish?
We have Troy Lawson.
A Minnesota Twins fan. Yes, we took two out of three from you, Troy.
And thank you for Brock Stewart. Thank you for Brock Stewart.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure. Well, I think a lot of people in Twins territory are really wondering what the heck is this front office doing?
Three-star relief pitchers. Stewart, Durant, Jax.
Actually, there's more than that. You have Danny Coulomb, too.
Well, Coulomb, another one? Yikes.
Troy, is there a possibility that this front office is setting Rocco Baldelli up to fail on purpose?
There may be a possibility of that. I don't know for sure.
I'm just asking the question because it just feels like all these guys that they've traded, and I know they're getting prospects back, but unless they fast track these kids up, it's going to be at least 3 to 4 years before the Twins can get back to even some semblance of what they were.
Probably, but you know, here's the other thing. I think
they don't, the front office probably feels they don't have, enough talent in the minor leagues for the future. That's probably what they saw it as. But I don't know if they had to do this drastic of a fire sale.
And then they traded Carlos Correa back to where he started. Like the Astros needed any more bat help. They got that. And they basically, and I think they sent what, a couple of prospects back? I think.
One.
Yeah, one.
I'm not sure if it's even anywhere close for a top prospect. I think it was more of a
It was one of those low budgets that's going to be a class A or, you know, if lucky single, high A, maybe double.
You know, the other thing, Troy, that Minnesota did is you took James the Outman off our hands.
I think he has struck out 5 times in his first 8 at bats, if I'm not mistaken.
Good gravy.
Either
he can't swing or he's got a big hole in his bat.
Troy, I have a question for you, Troy. As a Red Sox fan, there was so much talk last week that we were going to get Joe Ryan. It was even reported that we were on the verge. Do you know what Minnesota asked for?
I have not heard
at all.
No, I've not heard. And I think sometimes what happens is some of those websites, as soon as they hear a rumor, they post it. They just,
no kid.
They don't validate it. I just think what it was. I mean, could there have been some trade talks around Joe Ryan? Probably, but, ultimately he was not traded. And here's another thing I want to point out. Some of the bullpen arms we traded away, we had 2+ years of control. So I don't know. Some of the moves we made did not make a whole lot of sense. I mean, the Carlos Correa move made sense.
You got Taj Bradley. What do you think of Taj Bradley?
What I've heard is he has not pitched as well recently. So, I mean, 6-6 in a ERA and 4s with the Rays this year. I mean, that's okay, but I just wonder from what I've heard, he has not pitched well in his recent start. So, my guess is the Twins view it more as somebody to fill in a spot near, the starting a rotation in the, meantime. And right now he is at St. Paul, but.
I'm going to reserve my thank you for Correa, because his batting average was pretty low. He's up and down. So I don't know if I really wanted him back, but we'll see. But I wanted to ask you about.
Actually, before you ask your question, let me say this. It sounds like Correa has been wanting to move to third base since 2023. Well, we have, Royce Lewis on the team who now plays third base. He's a former shortstop. And we also have Brooks Lee, who was drafted as a shortstop, and he had been playing second base. Well, I think the reason why they moved Correa, not only for money's sake, but to also grant him his wish of playing a third base. Those I think were the 2 main reasons. And as you mentioned, Michael, you know, he has not been hitting very, very well. I think he only has 30 RBIs this year. Until he was traded, and only 6 home runs, I think. So, 5 or 6.
He had 7 and he hit one yesterday. So he has a total of 8 right now.
Well, yeah, put it this way.
His production is down. I was going to ask you about, JJ McCarthy for the Vikings. Do you think that he's going to be able to carry that team?
We'll see. As I've said before, they brought in the guy from Seattle, Sam Howell. Yeah, Sam Howell. So I don't know. I don't follow the Vikings as close as I do the Twins in the off season. So, but I mean, I know about the big moves they made, but you know, We'll see. Are we going to maybe have these two quarterbacks split time? We'll see.
I heard earlier today that McCarthy has looked really poor in practice, and maybe some of it is that, you know, he had a year off, but I heard that he had real issues with accuracy, that and you're supposed to learn this in college. All his passes are line drives. He doesn't have much touch. So it may be a tough year for the Vikings unless this young man, is a very quick learner, because it sounds like he's got a long way to go.
The thing with the Vikings last year is they want to look close games. And even if McCarthy gets better and gets his act together, you know how these things usually work. The gods of football even things out, and the Vikings are not going to win all the close games this year. You know, they probably lose more. They maybe lose more than their share. I find the whole NFC North kind of fascinating. You have the Lions, Mitch, you were talking about the problems they're having with discipline. You got the Vikings with their problem with quarterback. You got the Packers who might be pretty good. And then you got the Bears, if Caleb can get his act together and play well, maybe this is the year of the Bears to go from last to first.
The same report that took McCarthy to task said Caleb was having real serious problems too. And I think Green Bay is going to win that division. I think Love is going to bounce back here.
I mean,
unfortunately, I agree with you, Mitch. Their receiver core is
amazing.
They've got a lot of speed on their receiver.
Yep.
And
they drafted a kid.
My guess is the NFC North is probably going to be up for grabs. Maybe Detroit's the favorite. Maybe Green Bay's the favorite. Minnesota, all I can say is they have a tough schedule this year. So, I'm just going to kind of do a wait and see on the Vikings, because it seems like a lot of times if we make the playoffs in recent years, we have a down year the following season. So, we'll see. And if you're, what you've heard about JJ, McCarthy is any indication, this could be a long season. So, we'll have to wait and see.
Plus the fact, Troy, I heard that Aaron Jones is not the lead running back this, at least this early in the season. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not. So I don't know if any. So as I said before, I don't follow Vikings that much in the off season, especially during the preseason. But
Robert Acosta has left the meeting alert.
What I can tell you is I know Justin Jefferson. He had a sore hamstring earlier in camp, and I think he might be recovering from that. So that's one thing I do know, but. But I don't know. My thinking is I'll wait and see what happens at the start of the season. So,
well, good luck with your team, Troy. That's for sure.
Yep.
Don, I have a question for you about the Yankees.
We do have another hand.
All right. Who is it?
Let's take it.
Okay. It's Diane.
All right.
Go ahead. Diane.
Welcome. Hello.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can.
Yes. I believe the Tigers also got one of Minnesota's pitchers. I can't remember his name, but.
Oh, not from Minnesota. They got Charlie Morton from, Baltimore.
Yeah, they got someone from Minnesota too. And, they played three games against, the Phillies and lost two of them, but the one they won, I think that this pitcher they got from Minnesota might have started for them. So.
Yeah, I'm just going to barge in here. Chris Paddock is the guy that you guys got.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep, I remember.
And he started on Wednesday.
Oh, was it Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay, so I knew that he won a game with them. I couldn't remember. But anyway. You know, we of course here are hoping that he will continue to help us, because we definitely need help in the pitching department.
Are the Tigers leading that division?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
By a lot.
I thought so.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just wonder, you know, the Tigers, well, I shouldn't say that. How will they do in the playoffs? You know, they'll make the playoffs. They're going to win the division. And then the question is, do they have what it takes to, you know, to move forward in the playoffs? I mean, last year they had playoff experience, so they have that, they have them under their belts. So they may be able to pull through it. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. At least a round probably.
And Diane, how is Jack Flaherty doing? Is he still kind of mediocre?
He's kind of on and off. Now, the last time he did definitely play in one of the games against Philly, and he did well. And I'm trying to think though which game it was, because Scooble, I think, pitched on Friday. So Flaherty must have pitched Saturday, and that was the game they won. But I don't think he was the, or was he the winner of it? You know, I just don't remember from game to game. But, you know, sometimes he does well and sometimes he doesn't.
And Diane, nobody was going to beat the Phillies last night with Christopher Sanchez pitching the way he did. He pitched an absolute gem in that ball game. And then they had somebody come in and lock it down in the ninth inning. It might have been even Yoan Duran, who I hear his latest nickname is Durantula.
Yeah. That game was on ESPN last night.
Yeah, the Sunday night game it was.
So, yeah, the Tigers only gave up two runs, you know, it was, so it was kind of sad as far as we were concerned, but maybe we'll get an easier schedule for a while.
We shall see. Good luck to the Tigers, that's for sure. Thank you, Diane. Don, I have a Yankee question for you.
Yeah.
Where's Goldschmidt?
He's there. He's in the lineup. He's been.
Because the reason I'm asking is I'm hearing that Chisholm's been playing first and Judge may play first. I don't know if that's.
Oh, true. No. Chisholm's been playing second. No doubt about that.
And I just heard I forget who it was. They were trashing the Yankees defense. They've got the fifth worst defense.
Jeter, yeah. On the soapbox.
Yeah, that's Jeter and A-Rod. And apparently Chisholm is not playing particularly decent second base.
If the Yankees not make the postseason.
Judge to play? Didn't Judge kill
her? No, he's hurt. I don't know when.
Somebody mentioned that they may try him at first. I don't believe that, but that's what somebody speculated.
I thought Judge was DHing.
They actually had him in the outfield for a minute. They had him playing in center.
We do have another hand as well, just so you know, Bob.
And before we get to that, Trish, I just want to quickly mention that, and Don might enjoy hearing this, the WNBA may have a team in Boston very soon.
Yes, the Connecticut Sun is moving out.
Yep, they moved to Boston.
And I don't know why they would do that. Why would they move out of Connecticut? That's, you know, UConn, that's Huskies land. Why would they move out of there?
Probably because they're not getting as much fan support and probably not getting, you know, not getting a lot of folks at their game.
They're not going to get it in Boston. Are you kidding me?
But back to my Yankees point that I told you, Don, on, you know, in a text thread, I said to you, if the Yankees somehow miss the playoffs, Aaron Boone's head could be on the chopping block.
I wish. It should have been in 2018. He should have had about 3 months worth of managing there and then been sent back to digging ditches or something.
Hey, we have a hand raised. So Trish, who do we have? We got two more minutes.
This is a phone number. It's area code 512-90A. Unmute and let us know who you are, please.
They have to unmute first.
512-908. Unmute, please.
Probably one.
Somebody from Austin, Texas area.
Austin.
You're still muted. Whoever that is, you're still muted.
Star 6 if you're on the phone.
That's first, please. But.
Hello.
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 Chris.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yo.
Yeah, this is Wayne from Austin.
There he is.
Wayne from Austin. What can we do for you?
Longhorn country.
I was just going to say, I've known Reverend Garrett for probably 45 years playing beat baseball. And yeah, I did see him in St. Louis last week. And I really hate to admit it, but I am a Cowboy fan.
Nothing wrong with that. That's your choice. It's okay.
I can't stand the owner.
Oh, Jerry Jones, no.
Yeah, Jerry's. You know, guess he was really good in oil, but he's not too good with football.
I'll put it this way. The day that he fired Jimmy Johnson and went with Barry Switzer.
That was the worst thing he could do.
The Cowboys' fortunes have never been the same since.
No, sir. You are correct.
Because the only reason Switzer won that Super Bowl is because of all of Johnson's plays. That was it.
I got to share a story. I'm curious of both Wayne's and Michael's reaction. So I went to the Dallas Cowboys tour. They had a tour of the Dallas Stadium during the American Council of the Blinds convention in Dallas. And the person who sort of led the tour was very good. She was very knowledgeable, but she started off by saying that Jerry Jones was a great businessman. And my sort of immediate reaction was to make a snarky comment, but I realized that he in fact is a really good businessman. He's making tons and tons of money in all kinds of ways, but he's not a very good general manager. The two are not the same.
Exactly.
You're right on that front. Yes.
He needs to hire a real general manager and a true coach, not a parrot.
Well, he wanted to be the coach, really.
Yeah, well, one problem. If you're the owner and the general manager, you can't pull Ted Turner what he did. Because he thought he could manage the team better than the general manager did Don, you remember this. When Ted Turner thought he could manage, and he found out for a day that he sucked at it, and then he finally did the smart thing and actually went back to doing what he should have been doing.
Yeah, in 2025, you can't do what Clark Griffith did in 1925.
Oh, God.
Where the owner is also the general manager and everything else. It doesn't work that nowadays.
No. Yep. You can't.
We are about out of time, gentlemen. Sorry to say. It was a great show. Great having everybody on today. And see you guys next week. Go safe with God's abundant blessings. And have a great week, everybody, as the exhibition football season is fully underway. Thank you.